Welcome and thank you for clicking on the Harmonic Concordance blogcast, your source for inspired interviews that explore the edges of consciousness and the role of spirit in our transformative times. Now here's your host, Johnny Marie Hiel.
Hello, folks, and thank you for joining us on this episode of the Harmonic Concordance blog. Today, I am very pleased to have my good friend, Bill Spranzi, with us. For a little background, in 2001, in a knowing beyond sheer faith, they moved from their beloved North Carolina to the high Mojave Desert town of Joshua Tree, California. Upon being asked, "What do you do?" by a new friend, Rob answered, "I am a healer." With her intention aligning with their soul's purpose, Rob began performing her unique, co-creative, hands-on healing work. Bill's role in that healing work is that of a silent choir, silently singing God's names in prayerful support. The rest of their time is spent exploring the depths of co-creative living. So having said that, let me introduce you to my good friend, Bill Spranzi. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Johnny. How you doing?
I'm just fine.
How's everybody out there? How are y'all?
Y'all's fine. And it's another beautiful day up here in the high desert.
It is.
So, Bill, first of all, let me thank you for giving me some time. And we'll use this time to explore who you are, what you do, where you came from, et cetera, et cetera. So let me ask you, start off by asking you, who is Bill Spranzi?
You know, that is as ephemeral as the weather, you know. I mean, you know, if you asked me 21 years ago, I would have been a fairly confused person in the middle of my life. I imagine it was the middle because I hadn't hit the other half. Imagining all the horrors that are beset me by the physical world and having a bit of a middle-aged slump. What am I doing here? What's the purpose? And then one morning I got a wake-up call from the universe, which was without sound, but every fiber in my being told me that Robbie and I had to drop what we were doing and race from a place outside of Chapel Hill over to Raleigh, about 45 miles away. And we had to go to a place called Spirit and Business. And it was a luncheon. And this is the only time every cell in my body has ever been ignited like that in a singular purpose. I got Robbie to hop in the car I'm trying to explain the unexplainable. And we drive to Raleigh. I could have closed my eyes and the car would have gotten there. It was one of those times when the universe calls and you hear the answer and you don't. And I picked it up. And 2 hours later, we were speaking with a young lady about celestial soul clearings. And I was looking at a brochure with beyond skepticism because it was talking about creating how your life could show meaning and purpose, how you'd add that to your life, and how you would be enhanced by working with archangels. Angels and the Great White Brotherhood. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'd always thought that angels were a lovely rumor, but I never put any credence in them, and I never heard of the Great White Brotherhood. They just sound like some of the bros back in rural North Carolina.
So, let me stop you there, just to get a little further explanation about what a celestial soul clearing is. How does it accomplish? Can you tell us who did that for you?
Yes, I was at that meeting. I met a woman named Angelia. Robbie and I met her. And when I was looking at the Celestial Soul Clearing pamphlet, Robbie was speaking with her and asking her what she did. And she said she does Celestial Soul Clearings. And I'm looking at this, and I was really skeptical because it promised me a quality of life I would never have anticipated. It talked about shedding negative energies and negative entities from my being, and I never considered that. But the more we spoke with her, the more we became convinced that we had to do the soul clearing. And what she did was, and she did this in meditation in the middle of the night, she raised our vibration. She somehow connected with my higher self, our higher selves and our vibrations, and repaired our celestial body. And we woke up the next morning, 4 days after having met her, and with a purpose, a renewed purpose in life that, again, is a singular experience. Robbie felt like she was 16 again, getting ready to go out on a hot date. And I felt like I was walking among the notes of the Ode to Joy.
Hmm. That's a lovely place to be.
Yeah. And it was. And our vibrations were, we had the worries, every worry that I had, every single worry I had going to bed that night, I woke up and it was gone. I felt infinitely younger, lighter. We had heard that old song about you're not a body having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having a bodily, physical experience, and that flipped around for us that night. And since then, we've been working from a space in spirit. We've been working from our heart and spirit since then. And 3 years later, we found out that the vibrations in Joshua Tree, California, matched our soul vibration at the time, because we came out here again, sight unseen, and fell in love with the place immediately, and left our 18-year-old son with the house, the mortgage, and the dogs, and we came out here, and subsequently, we came out here with the purpose of meeting our spiritual community. 4 days later, we met you and Jan and several other people. The promise was fulfilled.
A memorable day for us all around, I think.
Yeah, but since then, the soul clearing has done exactly what it promised, and I was looking for a brochure to try to... I've got a brochure right here. Can you indulge me and let you tell you what a celestial soul clearing is as a brochure? Celestial soul clearing is a powerful healing caused by significant acceleration of the consciousness that open, cleanse, and protect your being. And that is what that is exactly what happened with us. Who needs it? It's a process that's beneficial to everyone. Some people profoundly feel the need. They're struggling with difficult relationships or turbulent times, feeling lost and indecisive, or simply sensing the pull to do something different with their lives. And many who become spiritual seekers who are searching for deeper connection with the universe. It's not necessary to be experiencing any of those conditions. It may purely be a gentle urging of your inner voice to experience the new level of enlightenment. Well, I was all the above, but it wasn't exactly a gentle urging of my inner voice. It was more of, trying to take a shower in Niagara Falls. It's over there and meet this woman. So one of the benefits, each individual experiences a very personal transformation. However, recipients consistently report a dramatic change in their lives, including more energy and a zest for life, clarity of goals and the means to achieve them, peace of mind, increasing self-esteem, and freedom from burdens of our negative conditioning. Once received, the celestial guidance is an ongoing and permanent source of enlightenment.
All right. Thanks for the advertisement, by the way.
Yeah.
For celestial soul clearing. But it is a seminal moment in your lives, right? Very important. Right. And essentially what brought you to the high desert.
Yeah. We'd always looked for an experience to ground, or look for a place to ground that experience, because it was so intense for us. And Safriel has told us that, by the way, we are the ones who had the biggest reaction of anyone she's ever done the soul clearing for. So a lot of people's are less dramatic. I understand you had a soul clearing at one point.
Did indeed, and that's where I was introduced to the personage Marahiel. But I had mine about a year before yours, but it was another transformative time for me.
So, right.
I can attest to all the things that you say and all the things that Angelion's brochure says. So you come out here in 2001, come out to the High Desert in 2001, and
immediately meet our spiritual community. Immediately. So from that, we, as you know, it's when we met the community, we started opening up. People started, you know, we started sharing information, and information that was being shared, you know, we had as much information to share with as anyone else. And it was a time of really a really great growth and expansion.
Let's say spiritual expansion.
Spiritual expansion. Right? Yeah, exactly. Spiritual expansion.
We're not talking about our bodies, huh? Although they have expanded somewhat.
Well, yeah, right. But in some cases, in spiritual expansion, your brain sort of reconfigures. So the first 6 months of the soul clearing, we were skyrocketing. Well, I mean, I guess a universe rocketing through the experience. I mean, what the soul clearing did was offer you a path to enlightenment, and it leads you up to the door, to the transom of enlightenment. And I guess it's up to you as to whether you take that step over or, you know, just maintain. We tried to take the step over. We don't know if we've crossed that transom yet, but it has become the energies from the soul clearing for us were so intense that we felt them. I could feel them 10 years into the experience. And I was telling people, I mean, physically, I could physically feel the vibration from that experience 10 years into it. And I was telling people it was akin to concrete drying, because concrete, it takes concrete 20 years to dry. So we were right at the 20-year anniversary of having this experience. And I don't have those same physical experiences, but I have grown to be very comfortable in the co-creative world and working with the intelligences that are in the unseen world.
Now, you've said a couple of things that I want to question you about. You work in the co-creative world. I want to ask you about that and have a little bit of background on is the healing process that Robbie does. And I know Robbie would never say that the healing comes from her. Explain to us a little bit about what the healing process is, what she does.
Okay. So when we came out here, we came out here on faith or beyond faith. We came out here with knowing. We knew ever since the soul clearing, we've known everything's going to be all right. No matter what the world looks like, it's looking pretty interesting right now. We look like we're all sort of ice skating on a gyroscope, but we know that we are fine. We will be fine. So we found work within 6 months of being out here as the innkeepers at the Joshua Tree Inn. When Robbie, the first meeting, the first weekend we met you, our friend Olivia, our great friend, mutual friend Olivia, came up to Robbie and said, "What do you do?" And Robbie, without prompting, without knowing where it came from, said, "I'm a healer." And Olivia said, "Well, great, I've got someone for you to heal." And Robbie said, "I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that." Olivia said, "Yes, you are. Sure you are. So let's go working with this guy." She had a friend who was terminally ill, and his mind was not being settled, and that was keeping him from passing over, going to the transition. He was being held back by an upset mind. And so while we found work and we became innkeepers at Joshua Tree Inn, and one evening after a stressful week, we were relaxing in a hot tub at the Joshua Tree Inn, and Robbie looked at me and said, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "No, what was that?" She said, "I heard a voice saying Moab right above my ear, Moab, a man's voice. Did you hear that?" And I said, "No, I didn't." So she said, "Well, I'll have to check that out. I have to call Jan and see what that means." So she called Jan, and Jan said, "Well, one, it's the land of milk and honey in the Bible, and two, it's a place in Utah." And Rob said, "Can we get there overnight?" And she said, "No, it's a couple of days' journey." So we put that in the back of our mind to help explore the Southwest. 6 months later, we were out of the Joshua Tree Inn job, and we were looking for something to do over Christmas. We thought initially about going down to Mexico, and I said, "No, I don't want to go down to Baja. It just doesn't feel right." And Robbie said, "Well, let's go to
Moab.
Moab. So we took off from Moab, and we had an adventure there. Robbie had a, right before we left, she came down with a bronchitis, and she was getting bronchitis about twice a year. She had bronchitis about twice a year. So she had to go to the dock in the box to pick up something for, take for this bronchitis, because we were hitting the road in 20 minutes. We got on the road, and I came down with this really terrible cold. Just started sneezing and coughing and wheezing. So our journey up there was, we went by, drove through Utah, in southern Utah. We had to go by Bryce Canyon.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't get a chance to go there because we were on a mission from God, as Robbie described it. We got to Moab, and we were guided to go south, and we kept going south till we came to this road, and Robbie said, take a right here, and we went down this road towards Canyonlands National Park. And we went by Newspaper Rock. We're on the way down by Newspaper Rock, famous Newspaper Rock there. We got to the bottom of the hill, and Robbie said, pull over here and park here. And so we walked into this pasture. It was where some cows were grazing. We went over a fence, climbed over a fence, and these cows, there's nothing there for them to graze. It's in the middle of December. So we walk in, and they look at us and move, and, you know, they've disappeared. I don't know what happened to the cows. Robbie laid down and had a vision, and the vision was not something that she was meant to visualize, remember visually, but to remember it in her heart. When she was done, we got up and left. I'd been waiting for Jesus to walk out from the clouds, and nothing had happened there. And I was thinking, I don't understand what this process is, because while Robbie was getting his vision, she was laying next to me and sounded a lot like she might have been asleep. But I was wearing a silver and turquoise necklace, which broke. And some of the turquoise and silver tumbled down the desert. And I thought, well, this is, you know, this is our exchange here. So I buried that. And gathered the rest of it. Robbie woke up and said, well, I'm done. I said, well, what happened? And she said, I can't talk about it. So we went and drove down to where Canyonlands was. And we were 2 miles from there. And we drove down there in a beautiful overlook. And we went by Newspaper Rock. And we went back to our motel in Monticello, Utah. And for 3 days... we just grounded that experience. I mean, we were both wheezing and coughing, and we had taken with us flower essences from Perilandra, and they were helping us become grounded in experience. And they're also the source of they're the source of our co-creative healing on that.
I want to come to that, the co-creative healing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story of. Both your arrival and the trip to Moab.
Oh yeah, let me tell you this last part of this. We went to Moab. We went to Four Corners to Navajo Nation. We went down the Grand Canyon. We drove home. So we're driving home, and we've been away for 4 days. We're east of 29 Palms, and I asked Robbie, I said, how much have we spent on this journey? And she said, oh, I don't know, let me figure it out. So she figured it out. And by the time we got to Joshua Tree, which is 18 miles from 29 Palms, she said, it's $829.41. Okay. So we stopped to go into the post office, pick up mail that we had not collected in the last 4 or 5 days. And Rob goes in and picks it up, and she comes out with a bundle, and she's going through it as we're getting ready to drive back home. And she said, oh, here's a letter from our realtor. We had the realtor who had just sold our house in Chapel Hill a month before, and it had enabled us to go on this journey. And we're going, I wonder what this is. So Robbie opens it up. There's this letter saying, you know, we did a readjustment, reconfiguration, whatever they did, reconciliation of what the costs were. And we find that we owe you $849.41. And here's a check for it.
Things work out very strangely, don't they?
Yeah. So
and magically.
So, yeah. So we came back, and a few weeks later, we get a call from a friend saying he needed healing space. If he asked if he could borrow our healing space, because he had this child he knew that was having problems with his kidneys. And so we said, sure. So they came over to our house, and we said, you can do this if Robbie does her healing work as well. You know, you can let us do the healing work. You do your thing, and then Robbie will do her thing, and we'll let the guy, you know, then the boy go on. So this guy did his thing, and then Robbie put her hands on him, and at that point in time, her hands would flow over the, you know, she'd feel the energetic field and flow over it and stop at spots where she thought needed work. So this was on a Friday, and the reason the boy was there was because kidneys had shut down, and the doctor had told him, go ahead and bring him out of school because he was going to be making the transition. She told us that with tears in her eyes at the end of the healing. She told us that he had a doctor's appointment on Monday, and we said, please let us know how he's come out of that. So they left and got on with whatever we were doing. And a Monday evening, she called and said the doctor had looked at him and said, your kidneys are perfect. We think that the vision took.
And I can attest to Robbie's healing abilities myself. Actually, I should say Robbie and Bill, that both work in unison.
Right. And to call it work is to loosely apply the term.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right. So two things, and very quickly, I had a session with Robbie, and she took care of a shoulder problem that I had. And I had another session with her, and she took care of microfracture in my bone, the bone socket for the knee. It's not there anymore. I was having trouble walking up a stair before I had the healing. And then afterwards, and forever afterwards, after, I'm perfectly capable of climbing stairs and running around in the mountains.
Yeah, that was really wild to see. The next day, that was really wild to see.
So I have long called Robbie a world-class healer, and to me, she certainly is. Not only because of the work she's done for me, but for work she's done for other people who I know, who can also attest to that. So they're co-creative healing. So who are you co-creating with as you do the co-creating, co-creative healing?
We ask that the person who's on the table pray to whoever they pray to. It's the same, whoever they pray to is the same one we pray to, the same one that everyone else prays to, regardless of the name. It's like praying to a diamond. There are lots of facets, but it's still a diamond. Robbie prays to Satya Sai Baba. I just chant five Arabic names for God, and we do it in a place where we don't have attachment to the healing, because it is through, we tell the person on the table, it's through your faith that you're healed. And we have seen that time and time and time again. It is truly through a person's faith that they are healed. We are just, Robbie is a transformer of divine healing energies, and I'm just a tag along. I pray, what we do is, if the person on the table is praying, and Robbie is praying, and I'm praying, it creates a triangle, and a triangle is more solid than two points. A tricycle is more solid than a bicycle. So we pray we create a trinity of healing, and it goes from there.
That's a lovely way to put it, a trinity of healing.
Yeah.
Well,
and we also...
Could you tell us who some of your influences are in the field of spiritual exploration?
Sure. I have to give a shout out to my man, Jesus. But it was really interesting when we had the soul clearing, we were able to get a suggested bibliography that we could pursue and see any of the works there that came to us that caught our attention, that we could start working with and start learning from. And I was attracted to a book of unknown origin called Urantia, which set out a for me, a pretty plausible cosmology. And then I read works by a book by a woman named Elizabeth Hetch, who wrote a book about initiation and told us about the Egyptian priesthood and her experiences with that. And that had some really, really solid spiritual teachings in it. One day, Angelion called and said, "Have you read the map?" And we said, "No, what's that?" And she said, "The Map Book by Michelle Small Wright." And we said, well, you know, every time that she had recommended a book to us, we had a bump in our spiritual vibration. It increased again. And when we started reading what Michelle wrote, she started writing about devas, who in the Hindu expression, they're regarded as angels, demigods, and the Great White Brotherhood. And 6 weeks before, I'd never heard of the Great White Brotherhood. And here I was working with these guys. And she also introduced me to the concept of the higher self and to the concept of Pan, of earth energies, the earth energies that are rise to the physicality of the universe. So that gave me the framework to start doing the co-creative, to start living in the co-creative truth. And that's, you know, that's where we've been.
All right. So let's wrap up this ramble with asking you, what are you doing now and what are some of your future plans?
One thing that we found was that future plans don't work for us. It's better for us if we just stay open to the minute, because that's where the excitement is. That's where everything changes. So we really don't make plans. I mean, if you and I were to talk about going down to see a movie on Saturday, Robbie and I would say, well, let's talk about it Saturday because it's not Saturday yet. We don't know what's going to open up before that. So we look at every day as basically a unfolding of the lotus blossom. Every day is just another petal that opens up.
And every day is now.
Every day
and
is now.
And that's the only time we have.
So we do healing work. We do the healing work when people come to us. We don't advertise it. There's not very much about us on the web that I'm aware of. We have Facebook pages, but we don't have anything talking about the healing work on that. That's just what we do. But we're trying to serve all. We try to love all and serve all. And that's the teaching of Satya Sai Baba. And that is the voice of truth that we follow on we set our heart's compass upon to follow his star, the teachings he has. So we also do caregiving for a few people. And we help them, just people older than us that could use some help. And that's what we're doing. We don't. We're just defined by the
moment.
Yeah, by the moment. Yeah. Bill, Tuesdays, some guys show up here, and we talk about things like we're talking about right now. Some guys do. Some days.
We have a group, folks, that meet every Tuesday at noon, and we talk about everything under the sun, actually. Bill, I want to thank you for giving me some time.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. And you're welcome.
So we'll see you once again. This has been Johnny Marie Hiel speaking with my good friend, Bill Spranzi.
Peace.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you for having tuned in to the Harmonic Concordance blogcast with Johnny Marie Hiel and special guest. For more information about the blog, please visit www.hcblog.org. We wish you peace and blessings on your journey. Namaste.